And that brings us to Politics Monday. I'm here with Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report with Amy Walter and Tamara Keith of NPR. She joins us tonight from Dayton, Ohio. Hello to both of you, Tam in Dayton and Amy Walter right here in the studio. Amy, let's just pick up where Yamiche's reporting stopped. What does it say about that Senator Chuck Grassley, longest serving Republican in the Senate, who back in February said that President Trump was irresponsible, and I'm quoting here, encouraged his own vice president to take unconstitutional actions, now in October is happy to have his endorsement?
Yeah. Well, he gave you the answer. I wouldn't say no to somebody who has a 91% approval rating among Republicans in this state. Donald Trump easily won the state of Iowa, even as polls at the very end of the 2020 campaign showed that maybe it was going to be a lot closer. The Senate race that year, also polls showed it being very close, ended up not being close at all. So he knows exactly what he needs to do to win the nomination. And that's where so much of this energy that we're seeing on the Republican side is coming from, is that primary base, right? People who will show up, go to conventions, go to primaries. If you are a Republican and you're running right now and you have other Republicans in a primary running against you, you cannot afford to not be with the president.
Tam, what about that? Can any Republican who wants to be reelected stand up to former President Trump right now?
There are very few of them out there that exist. So I guess if Liz Cheney is able to win her primary, then maybe that will be one case. But the reality is that this is Donald Trump's party. And as he continues to lie about the outcome of the election, to spread misinformation about irregularities that have already been debunked, the reason that so many Republicans believe what he says is, one, they'll believe almost anything that he says, his true supporters, but because there are so many members of his party around him who are either willing to look past it, try to sort of talk around it, as Steve Scalise did, or gladly accept his endorsement. So I do think, though, that these midterms will be a test. The former president has endorsed a lot of candidates. He's going to continue to endorse more. The question will be whether his candidates come out ahead, and also whether, if they lose, they accept that they lost.
And Amy, you were telling us today that when you look at the Republican voters who identify as Republican, not all of them say they want him to run again.
Right. That was the poll that Yamiche was referencing in that setup piece. Yeah, 60-some percent of Republicans say, we like that Donald Trump's part of our, you know, he's the public face of the party. We want him to stay involved in the party. A lot of them want him to run, but only 44% said, I definitely want him to be the nominee. But that's today, right? They know, I think a lot of these voters know what a general election could look like with a very, maybe it might be a close outcome. Maybe they believe the election last time was rigged, but that the president lost by 7 million votes, right? So it is something of a risk to put up a president who never hit 50% in terms of job approval ratings to put up to run once again. At the same time, you say, well, who's going to beat Donald Trump in a primary? Who's going to run against Donald Trump in a primary? Who could raise that kind of money, and who could withstand the Donald Trump sort of bulldozer effect like he had in the 2016 election?
So many voices weighing in on this right now. Tam, you spoke, I guess, in the last few days with Stephanie Grisham, who was the press secretary at the White House for a time. She's written a book.
Yes, she was the press secretary for about 9 months, the press secretary who many Americans may not even recognize because she never once held a briefing. And she was incredibly loyal to Trump and to First Lady Melania Trump. And now she has written this book. And part of what she said in our interview is that she is genuinely concerned both about 2024, if he runs and wins. She says that, you know, there were a lot of things that he wanted to do where he was held back because, well, he had to run for re-election and you had to worry about what voters would think. Well, she says if he wins in 2024, what's to hold him back? there's no running for re-election, and she has her eyes also on 2022 and just how many of his loyalists can be put into Congress or into secretaries of state roles and others. Though, of course, we have to say that the second she turned on Trump, Trump and all of Trumpism turned on her. So she's a person in exile who doesn't really have a huge audience necessarily because, I mean, people who support Trump don't like her anymore, and liberals already hated her.
But she is out there talking and making the point, making those points.
That's why she wrote the book, she said.
Yeah, that you're just sharing. Meanwhile, Amy, we're looking at other polls around that have to do with President Biden, and he's slipping. He's sliding.
Yeah, he's struggling right now, and we started to see it over the summer as the Delta variant was taking its toll. And then, of course, the pullout in Afghanistan and the chaos that ensued there. And now, of course, divisions within his own party. This is not unusual for a first-term president, right? They go through this tough time. You get a little bit of a honeymoon. Reality sinks in. Expectations are not met. And then you have a sort of a tough slog. And the question is, where can you be by this time next year? Where the party needs him to be but by this time next year, is at least at 50% approval rating. Right now, he's somewhere around 44, 45%. So it's not dramatic, the jump that he needs to make, but he needs to start improving. A lot of it will rest with how well is the economy? How well are we at? What I think is happening is the sense of voters feeling frustrated that we're not back to so-called normal yet. That whatever normal was to you after COVID, right? That I hear this so much from voters and focus groups, the sense of, I thought things would be better by now. And whether that means I thought he would be able to do more on the things that were important to me, or I thought by now this COVID thing would be behind us. We wouldn't be yelling about masks and mandates. I wouldn't still be waiting for the products that I'm ordering and shipping backlogs, and that things are still costing a lot of money.
And Tam, you are there, as we said, in Dayton, Ohio. Have you had a chance yet to hear what voters are saying about the president?
Well, I am still getting my feet on the ground here, but I will say that what I'm looking into in my reporting is the American Rescue Plan. That thing passed back in the spring when President Biden was still in that honeymoon period. It's this huge COVID relief legislation that a lot of people have forgotten about already because Biden and Democrats have moved on to the infrastructure proposal and the Build Back Better plan and these other things that they're pushing to try to pass and sort of struggling to pass. Meanwhile, this massive infusion of cash, much of it hasn't actually hit yet. Some of it has, but a lot of it hasn't yet. And the political question is whether Biden and his party will get credit for it, or whether by design, having the money sort of roll out slowly in some places, whether it is designed for sort of maximum impact, but minimum political credit.
Well, we will be looking for your reporting and asking you all about it in days to come. Tamara Keith, Amy Walter, thank you both.
You're welcome.